It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. New transitional housing in Madison aims to reduce homelessness among young adults who age out of foster care. The National Foster Youth Institute says 20,000 young Americans move into this transitional age each year.
The Madison-based nonprofit Urban Triage calls its latest effort a first of its kind in Wisconsin. For a look at the Unhoused Youth Initiative, we have Brandy Grayson, CEO of Urban Triage. Brandy, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me as a guest.
Your organization is in the midst of designing and renovating this transitional living space in Dane County for young adults who have aged out of foster care. Why do Wisconsin communities need this type of transitional housing?
Well, you know, very similar to other communities across our country, we have an epidemic that I believe we have been ignoring. And the epidemic really is around the number of children and youth that are housed within our Child Protective Service institution or system of Child Protective Services. And when children leave this system, when they graduate from the system, which is at the age of 18, they are left without anything. A lot of the children that go through or are in foster homes don't have parents, don't have relatives, have nowhere to go. And our systems aren't set up to support youth in transitioning into young adulthood. So I believe transitional housing facilities like the one that we're cultivating is needed all through our country. So I'm super excited that Dane County Human Services has chosen us as their contractor to do the work. We have experience with housing folks throughout our Dane County, and we have experience working with populations that are vulnerable. So we're really excited for the opportunity and more so the opportunity to serve our youth.
When youth get to that really pivotal time around the age of 18, I'm going to use the word triage. I would imagine that, as your organization's name says, you do a bunch of triage to find out what is needed for this age group. What do you hear?
A lot of folks, you know, we do a lot of youth engagement and we work with youth in our high schools. And a lot of the youth say the same thing. One, adults don't listen to us. Two, there's nothing for us to do. Three, we don't know how to get a job. Four, I'm losing count. I don't have the skills to get a job or interview for a job, or I don't know how to fill out applications, or how do I get an apartment? What's required of me? What should I be doing? How do I manage a bank account? A lot of our young folks have never written a check. They haven't used anything outside a Cash App and a Cash App card. So banking information, financial literacy is something that we'll be supporting them with, tenant rights, contracts, negotiations for their lease, personal development, enrolling in schools, how to budget, right? How do you budget? How do you pay your bills? What are your priorities? What are some supports and resources that you can tap into to supplement some of your bills, whether it's food stamps or medical assistance? How do you apply for those things? What's the qualifications? What's expected? So those are the things, like the things that we as adults think that everyone just automatically knows, like how to do, which is really navigate life. Youth have communicated over and over again through to us and through data that they really don't know. Like, they're not learning this information in school. It's not something like they teach you in the life class. They teach you how to change a baby diaper, but they're not teaching financial literacy or navigating systems or applications or how to be presentable and things like that. So that's what we hear a lot of, and we'll be doing that inside the house, providing those services, those wraparound services, and then supporting youth in transitioning into permanent housing and helping them save up money and things like that, and personal leadership and development. And most important to me is the trauma recovery, because a lot of the kids and youth that are coming out of systems and foster care, they don't have, they're coming with trauma and they don't have access or a history of therapy or other services that's needed.
Brandy, with that type of trauma, are these young adults more susceptible to falling into homelessness?
Absolutely. Homelessness, sex trafficking, drugs, criminal activities, because, you know, desperate times require desperate measures. So a lot of our youth fall into unhealthy environments and situations because they're alone and they don't have the support. They don't have the guidance. They don't know what to do. So they're really living by chance a lot of times when they're aging out of foster care.
Living by chance. So in Wisconsin, age 18, is that a hard and fast age in terms of services and what is offered to these young people?
Generally speaking, yes. Sometimes we're able to, and this is I'm speaking from now the lens of a foster mom. I provide treatment foster care to children with high emotional and behavior issues. And the only time that I've been able to advocate for youth staying longer in the system or the foster care system is when they have cognitive disabilities. So if they have cognitive disabilities or physical disabilities that, you know, just affects them, but it has to be chronic. It can't just be anxiety or depression or suicide. It has to be chronically disabling, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then they can stay in the system maybe to 19, 20 if you get a court order.
So, Brandy, looking at your numbers here, last year providing housing services for more than 3,000 young adults, urban triage, finding permanent housing for 225 young adults. I was looking at your housing resource list and what is available and the cost of housing. What challenges do these young adults face when trying to find a place to live?
A lot of challenges. So we have, I just don't even know where to stay, right? Because most of the apartment complexes or, you know, landlords are requiring 3 to 4 times the amount of rent, right? And we are talking about a one bedroom, $1,100. And then they're also requiring a good credit score, rental history. And if you don't have those things, they're requiring co-signers. But when you're coming from a system, you don't have access to those things. Those things are a privilege that they don't have. They just don't have. I guess I would just say that.
We have Brandy Grayson with us, who leads the Madison nonprofit Urban Triage, as we talk about housing needs for young adults who are aging out of foster care. Brandy, recently WPR spoke with Christine Nadolski from the state's Education for Homeless Children and Youth program. And let's listen to Nadolski talking about doubled up homelessness or when youth live in temporary situations with family or friends.
It really is kind of that hidden homelessness that we don't think about. A lot of times people just think homelessness as an individual on the street or maybe folks living in their car. But really, these doubled up situations are very unstable.
With these doubled up situations, is this a common issue for the young adults you serve?
Oh, yeah, young adults and adults. We have a lot of families that come through urban triage who are doubled up. And a lot of times it's folks, you know, we see a lot of it with immigrant families and with young folks who are what we call couch surfing, just going house to house to have a place to stay. It's unstable and a lot of times it's unsafe. So the challenge, again, is the way that HUD and most funders define homelessness is based on living on the streets, living in your car, or living outside in some place that's inhabitable, right? And oftentimes, if someone says, hey, I'm couch surfing, I'm doing these things to get by, then it disqualifies them. So not only is it a big challenge, it's an area in which we're lacking resources and supports, and not just with doubled up, but with housing stability, because we do have youth and other young adults that find housing, but then they need support along the way to maintain housing, and there's no resources. There's nowhere for people to go when they get sick and miss work for 2 weeks, because folks are living check to check, you know, to survive in this economy. So if there is a mishap or something occurs, your child is sick, you miss too much work because your kid is sick, now you're fired, now you need to get a new job, and it takes 30 days to do that, now you're behind, now you're facing eviction, now you're facing more stress, and there's no support services currently available in our community for those families.
Can you talk a bit about the Unhoused Youth Initiative and how there might be some safety net there in that transition as we look at all of these different challenges that these young people are facing?
Yeah, so our Unhoused Youth Initiative really is designed to not only provide the support services and wraparounds, but designed to support youth in understanding how to navigate the systems, how to save for emergencies, how to access resources, and how to overcome moments of obstacles and stress. Because a lot, too often, whether we're talking about young adults or people my age, and let's just say I'm close to 50, sometimes we don't know what we don't know, and we haven't developed the skills or capacity to overcome challenges. When, you know, sometimes, you know, for me, when my car breaks down, I just go to the shop. For folks who don't have access to resources to fix their car, it becomes life-changing for them. And it could change into, you know, it can change their life direction in terms of getting to work, getting their kid to school. And then that could feel like hitting rock bottom to them, something that some of us would see simply as a repair need. So our job, I see our job as an organization and as folks who support folks who are vulnerable, is to teach people how to thrive through and survive those obstacles, those life obstacles, what we call or identify as lifing, right? And then helping them and helping investors and funders fund those things that people need. Like, so if I have my car breakdown and it's life or death for me, we need to make sure in our community there's resources, right? Because everybody doesn't have family to call, or mom or dad or a cousin or someone they can loan from or borrow from. And I think sometimes we just don't get that's a privilege in itself, to pick up the phone and say, hey, can I borrow $500? And $500 for some people can cost them their whole livelihood.
Will these types of resources be there on site, in proximity, for these young people who are in the transitional housing?
Yes. So they'll have access to emergency funding, miscellaneous funding, housing navigation, advocacy services, direct access to legal supports, support with navigating, whether it's Social Security or food share or Medicare. They'll get that from us. We'll provide them with transportation, job readiness by connecting with outside agencies who will come in and do training. We'll do our own in-house training based on our Supporting Healthy Families curriculum that we model all of our programs after, supporting people in identifying the scripts and stories that impact their ability to cause and create a reality in the world that they desire to experience. So it'll be all in-house, along with intensive case management and, you know, individualized stability plans and goal setting. And we'll support them in obtaining those goals by working with them daily.
It would, I'd imagine then you would be working very closely with social service agencies,
absolutely,
and other nonprofits to be able to provide this level of resources.
Absolutely. We are founded on collaboration and cooperation, understanding that our capacity to serve the people that are most vulnerable comes directly from our ability to collaborate. So we are really big into partnerships and networking with agencies and creating direct access points. And then the referral system for this particular program will come directly from social services agencies. So the folks that will be placed will come directly from those agencies.
This is an age group, Brandy, that might be headed to college, might be looking at higher education, maybe thinking it's out of reach or trying to transition into further education. How could higher ed be part of this transition from foster care to adulthood?
I think the mentorship and access to alternative pathways to academia would be a positive. I think like the Odyssey program would be a perfect fit for our program, and figuring out how we can connect our youth to that program, which is an alternative to entering UW. And it's an amazing program. So those programs designed around assisting folks who may not qualify in the normal, you know, application process, and also offering other supports like research, staff, tutors, mentors, professors, all those folks can have an impact in how well this program works. So we are going to be doing intentional outreach to UW to see what kind of supports they can offer, even interns, right? Like, how can we get youth that are or young adults who are in college to intern at our housing facility for their own experience and for the support of the youth? So there's a lot of entry points here to support this program.
And then in terms of your timeline, what is the timeline to enroll youth and to open up services?
Well, I'm not sure if you know this, but anytime you contract out with a municipality, it's never the way you think it's going to go. So our program was actually supposed to be officially launching April 1st, and it got pushed back because there was some permit that was not secured. So we're pushed back into June or July before we get access to the actual facility to get in there to do the renovations. So I'm hoping that we can be up and running by September. That is my goal. But that is not a guarantee because contracts, you know, we just have to wait till we get the okay. And sometimes it takes longer than we would like. But hopefully by the end of the year, for sure.
Well, Brandy, all the best to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're so welcome. Thanks again for having me.
Brandy Grayson is CEO of the Madison-based nonprofit Urban Triage.